Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's up? You're listening to the NFL Fantasy Podcast. James Coe here. I'm taking awkward long pauses. Is that working for me?
It's a little weird.
Okay. Got the franchise, Magical Beard of Fantasy, Matt Franchise. What's up?
What up? I'm here. Let's go.
Okay, good. The Whiz Kid from Wisconsin, Alex Gellhart. What's cracking?
Oh, you know, same old, same old. Week 11 now.
All right.
Basically.
MG, wow, that was a sad, sad intro.
Week 11.
MG, my guy, Marcus Grant. What's cracking?
I wish I had something else to yeah. I'm here.
Here I am.
Okay. We're all here.
Wow, sounds like we're really excited to do this podcast.
Yeah,
Matt
Harmon.
I'm excited. No, let me tell you, I'm.
You are not.
Yes, I am.
No, you're
I said, and I said to franchises as we were coming up. I said, yes. Got a good feeling about this show.
Okay. You did. You
it's
did say
be a good
that.
Show.
I can confirm.
This is going to be a good show. Normally, I like the Fridays podcast better, but I'm feeling good on
because I'm not here.
That's not the reason. That's correlation does not equal causation.
Mm.
And just because there's a correlation between you not being here and me enjoying those shows more does not mean that's the cause of it.
I got like a C- in pre-calc. So.
Okay.
Okay. Well, all right. We got a big-time show in front of us here today. We're going to react to Sunday Night Football. We'll talk about a few other teams and situations we're keeping an eye on. Green Bay, Dallas, Pittsburgh. We'll talk about those teams in depth today. We'll talk about your top performers, your biggest disappointments. Get to your daily daps. But as always, we start the show with your top headlines.
The camera highlights in the world of sports.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Whistles go woo!
I like turtles.
We continue to follow breaking news.
Watch the news because I'm a kid.
So y'all need to have your kids, have your wife.
We shall start in Chicago, the Chi-Town. I'm devastated. Alshon Jeffrey.
It's all going wrong there right now.
What's happening here? Alshon Jeffrey suspended without pay for the team's next four games, violating the NFL policy on performance-enhancing substances. Jeffrey's suspension begins immediately. He will be eligible to return to the Bears December 12th, following the team's December 11th tilt against the Detroit Lions.
Wow.
Welp.
I
mean, now wait a second. Why are you devastated, James? Because it's not like Alshon's really done anything for you this year.
I mean,
come on.
Color's back there now, and
I know
the outlook was good going forward.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
He was kind of like a guy people were trading for, like before Cutler got back. And
yeah, this is a big disappointment. I don't know how you can paint it any other way because the second half of the season looked like it was going to be better than the first. I mean, and yes, he's been a disappointment from where you drafted him.
Yeah.
But at the same time, he's had multiple 90-yard games. He's only caught one touchdown, but it did look like things were going up. In games where he played with Cutler, he was far more involved and productive than in games where he played with Hoyer.
Also, just looking at his schedule, right? He's got the Giants, Titans, Niners, and Lions coming up. Come on. That's nice.
Yeah.
That's a nice-looking schedule
now
right
it's going to be nice for Cameron Meredith.
I guess.
Little Joshua Bellamy action.
Joshua Bellamy.
Anyone?
Is Eddie Royal going to come back to save us all?
Maybe.
Real talk.
Okay.
Meredith probably takes Jeffrey's role.
Yeah.
Royal sees a slight uptick.
Yeah.
Miller sees a slight uptick. But who's going to want to trust this offense?
Yeah.
Like with a broken Cutler. They lost Kyle Long, too, to a season-ending injury.
Yep.
Might be without Jordan Howard. Like, get out of my life, Bears, right now. Sorry. Sorry,
Woo!
Chicago fans, but you got the Cubs win.
You got the World Series.
Your Bears are falling apart.
All these years where people in Chicago prayed for a Cubs World Series, you got to realize you got to give something back.
I think what we have here is a salty Packers fan, to be honest.
No, I'm not salty at all. I just, like, all the leagues that I'm heading into the playoffs in, I don't want to be like, all right, here we go, Zach Miller.
All right, let's stay with Chicago, shall we? John Fox said Jordan Howard suffered an ankle or Achilles injury and didn't play the second half. Howard was asked about it, and he said, quote, nah.
Really? Really?
Legitimately said, nah, I'm not injured.
Oh, wow. Well,
okay. All right.
That's great.
He did fumble in the game, right?
True.
did lose a fumble.
Yeah.
We know that John Fox is just out and out deceptive about injury reports, but
right.
I mean, to say a guy suffered an ankle or Achilles injury, and that is why he didn't play the second half, and then to ask the player the same day about said injury, and for him to reply, no, I'm good. I mean, that's like next level.
Hey, as the great Walter Sobchak once said, if you will it, it is no dream. So he's basically just going to will himself unhurt, apparently.
He did have two touches in the second half.
I don't know. It was ridiculous.
The Bears are also the opposite of forthcoming when it comes to injuries.
It's John Fox.
Yes. Yeah.
He's been like that his entire career.
We don't know. Who knows?
Still waiting to see what the deal is.
True.
Again, as Alex Gelhard mentioned, though, the team's a mess.
Total mess.
Regardless of who you got in that backfield, you can't trust any of them moving forward. So
I think you could trust. If Howard was healthy, I think you could trust him.
He's healthy.
I'm with Franchise on that. We don't know.
Sure.
Yeah, it just depends on what news comes out about this. If it's like a ankle sprain.
I refuse to believe John Fox. Jordan Howard says he's healthy. He's healthy.
So
yeah,
you
great.
Think
every player ever has been like, no, I'm not injured. I can come back immediately.
Just like when they kept Jay Cutler out after he was day-to-day, but he was out for 6 weeks.
Right.
I don't trust that type of deal.
I don't trust that at all.
I see where you're coming from.
Let's just say that in terms of Howard's injury, we need more information before we can really tell you anything conclusive.
There you go.
I mean,
that sounds stupid. I just like to take hot
takes. Okay, but
James wants to fire
as you wish. But in terms of the Bears offense in general,
yes,
I think I'm somewhere in the middle of you can trust Howard and you can't trust him at all. I think he's like, I don't think he has RB1 upside anymore with Kyle Long's injury, with the whole offense probably being a train wreck, because we've already seen what happens when running backs play in those sort of offenses.
He can catch passes out of the backfield. He had 100 yards yesterday, and I think he's broken the 100-yard mark like 4 times in the last 6 games. So.
Well, I think he's a startable fantasy asset.
Okay.
But I don't think he has – I think he could have been like an RB1 if he was going to have the workload and usage that he did against Minnesota the rest of the way, but I don't think he's going to have that now.
Right.
This offense is just in the tank for the next 4 weeks.
Might be a committee there in Chicago. Might be a committee there in Seattle now, as the head coach for the Seattle Seahawks, Pete Carroll, says Thomas Rawls is set to come back. He says he's going to practice this week, and he should be good to go this week. What do you do with Thomas Rawls?
You pick him up at least.
Yeah, I guess, yeah.
he's worth an ad. I mean, the Eagles have been tough against running backs, though. So
okay.
I would not.
But, I mean, are you playing Thomas Rawls?
Absolutely.
No.
If you're playing anybody, you're playing ProSize next week because of his dual threat ability. I think he led the team in receiving yards, correct? And receptions?
Is that true?
He's led the team in receiving 2 of the last 3 weeks.
CJ ProSize has?
He had 153 scrimmage yards yesterday. He came inches from scoring a touchdown.
Pretty
his
good.
First touchdown of his career, I believe
it
would have been. And he's super versatile. Coming out of college, he was a converted slot receiver, which we saw him work as a pass catcher. He's caught all 12 of his targets in the last 3 games.
In the last 4 years, actually, he's changed positions twice. He used to be a safety.
Yeah.
And then he was a wide receiver. And then he was a running back.
He's an athlete.
After the game, Pete Carroll said, "This is why we were so excited to draft this guy." And then he got hurt in the preseason, and he hasn't really been healthy up until a couple of games ago. And now we're seeing them use him like all around the field, and it's paying off for fantasy owners in deeper leagues might have been playing in the last couple of weeks, but now he's going to be a big waiver wire pickup.
I would preach a little caution. I think part of why we saw so much ProSize is that I don't know how completely healthy Christian Michael was. He was dealing with a hamstring injury, and he did play a little bit, but it was mostly ProSize's show. But with Thomas Rawls coming back, it goes back to my frustration, you might remember, at the start of the year when you guys were all big on the awakening, and I kept saying, all this is going to do is give us another committee. So now we have – I don't know what it is about bird teams between Philly and Seattle that we've got three-headed running back committees. I mean, please, Dan
Trends.
Quinn, don't do this to us in Atlanta.
The Cardinals
Baltimore,
are just fine.
Too.
Yeah. Baltimore.
Oh.
Cardinals are fine.
Yeah. For the most part, the Falcons are fine. But
Tevin Coleman comes back.
Tevin Coleman.
But at least he's only split
go
two.
Go to Ron Ward and Devontae Freeman.
Wow.
Who knows? But something about birds.
Bird trends.
What a revelation.
Avian trends. I like it.
This is good.
This is next level.
Hard level research.
Good hashtag content.
So the thing about Thomas Rawls, like we talked about this with Deion Lewis last week and why I'm just not into the blind injury optimism anymore. Yeah. It has been almost a calendar year, 1 month shy of a calendar year since we've seen Thomas Rawls do anything of consequence on an NFL field. In fact, December 13th, 2015 was the game that he got hurt against the Ravens or whatever. So it's been a long time. That's a while. I mean, and look, things change in the NFL quickly. And
I mean, he did come back for a bit. It just
But he looked like hell and got hurt again.
Right.
Yeah.
So, and I mean, it's been one thing after another with him. And look, he would not be the first running back to just flash in the pan, and then we'd never hear anything of real greatness from him again. So sure, whatever. You can add Thomas Rawls. Maybe he becomes the guy, but just you got to admit to yourself that it is completely up in the air. I mean, we have no idea how the hell this is going to go. And I think that there are still plenty of people tweeting about this last night that are like, Rawls is the guy when he comes back. Rawls was great last year. Again, that's so long ago. Who cares?
Yeah.
Forget it. Forget like it ever happened. Take this as a new situation.
In Buffalo, Sammy Watkins isn't ready to practice yet, according to Rex Ryan. I would imagine there's not much to do there other than say, okay, that's cool. Speaking of wide receivers who may or may not be injured, Larry Fitz is set to get an MRI on his knee. It sounds precautionary at this time, but you never know. I do want to ask the group here, Arizona wideouts, is this just a big, giant shrug emoji? Everyone was
turning
set.
Into.
Hold on. You know what? Maybe they just skipped the bad backfield committee and giving us a wide receiver committee. They have David Johnson, so they're like, we'll follow the hashtag bird trends and just muck it up at wide receiver instead.
I didn't think about that, but that's very plausible.
Wow. I mean, you're not wrong, though. That's the thing. I just wrote this up for the Opportunity Report, and like, Michael Floyd had been losing playing time every week, had been playing terribly lately, and then he was the number two receiver last week and went over 100 yards at his best game of the season.
Every time I looked, he was making a circus catch to move the
chains.
Even
after Bruce Arians told us that J.J. Nelson would be the number two, who fumbled and then had one bounce off his hands for an interception.
Yes.
And he tried the old elbow catch there where the ball was coming, and he like tried to wing it in his arm.
So, I mean, who knows? Outside of Fitz, I don't think you can trust any of these
guys. Absolutely not.
And, I mean, who knows if next week it'll be completely different.
It's been amazing. The 2 years in a row now, the Cardinals' pass attack has kind of been like this. Even John Brown, who last year I know had a pretty decent season, there were many weeks where he just disappeared. So it's two years in a row now that the Cardinals have been very tough to figure out from the wide.
And this year they're not as good passing game either.
Carson Palmer is just
last year they could have potentially supported two, maybe even three guys in 1 week, or definitely three over the entire season. But this year it's not that way at all.
All right, let's react to Sunday Night Football. What a game.
Ah, that's my reaction. Ah. I just reacted. Thank Let's you. Move on.
Oh, okay.
Okay. All right. All right. The shortest podcast in history.
I love it. Just kidding.
Oh, it was a great game last night.
It was.
How poetic that the Patriots got down to the 1 yard line
and threw the football,
and they couldn't punch it in. They should have gave it to Marshawn.
They should have gave it to Marshawn Lynch.
They should have gave it to Marshawn.
Well, he was busy.
Oh, I see.
Doing whatever it is he's doing now.
He's got golf carts that he's injury carts that he's rolling around in.
He's with Bear Grylls.
Oh, that's true. By the way, if anyone hasn't seen that episode, they should.
Yeah.
Great episode. They kill a pig. It's pretty sweet.
You watched it?
Oh, dude. It's
nice.
So good. I'll throw this out to the group. Is Russell Wilson back?
Yeah, it's the second half of the season, so automatically,
Yes. obviously.
As friend of the program, Pat Doherty, Roto Pat on Twitter, tweeted last night.
Well, acquaintance of the program.
Acquaintance. Okay, fine.
Okay.
I was trying to elevate.
Fair enough.
But anyway,
I'm just kidding.
He tweeted yesterday, this is your reminder that second half Doug Baldwin is Jerry Rice 2.0.
It's true.
Because he
You buying that?
Not really, but last night was kind of that. It was kind of that wake-up moment like, oh, yeah, this happened again last year, didn't it?
Yeah, three touchdowns yesterday, so, I mean.
Which is crazy.
Was it
three touchdowns?
Three touchdowns. He had 59 receiving yards, but he had three touchdowns.
Right.
I do think the offense will get better, but mostly because Russell Wilson is getting healthier.
Yeah.
And he's able to move around and make plays and extend plays and do that sort of thing, so that's definitely going
to
help.
Is the O-line starting to gel as well?
Sure. I mean, I think it's probably close enough, but outside of that, this offense, we were really excited about it coming into the year because it's constructed very well, and we didn't even factor in Jimmy Graham in the preseason because nobody expected to get anything from him. But look, they've got a star tight end. They've got a really good slot receiver who functions as their number one. They have Kerson and Lockett, who are good players outside. Lockett was definitely more of a deep threat last night. They've got potentially three viable and one in ProSize very explosive running back. And they have one of the most historically efficient quarterbacks of all time behind center in Russell Wilson.
I do want to say this, though. Their backfield's a mess. I mean,
it is a mess.
I mean, we keep talking about ProSize, and he looked like a good – I mean, we were saying the exact same things about Christian Michael as well, and we were saying the exact same things about Thomas Rawls before that. The bottom line is I don't trust anyone in the Seahawks' backfield.
No.
It's an absolute mess. But I will say this. again, what we saw last year in terms of the Seahawks revival was the fact that the running backs, because the running backs were so, you didn't know what you were going to get, Russell Wilson had to put the team on his back.
Yeah.
And I think we're seeing the exact same thing again today.
Go ahead, Brandon.
I wrote about last week, I do this trade column, and I wrote about six players to trade for to save your season, and Doug Baldwin was in there. Mm-hmm. This is before
the three-touchdown game.
The three-touchdown game, because he had already been on pace. He was outpacing his production from last year through nine games already, and the Seattle run-pass ratio from 2016 compared to 2012 to 2015 was insanely different. So in that three-year span, they were 48% pass, 51% run.
Interesting.
This year, they've been 61% pass, 39% run because, like you said, they can't run the ball, so they have to pass it. And heading into Week 10, Russell Wilson had a 120.5 passer rating when targeting Baldwin and Graham versus an 85 passer rating when targeting all others on the team. So he's looking for these guys. They're getting the volume.
Interesting.
And they're passing the ball a lot more than they have been in the past. So I like Baldwin to have a big second half.
Those are great numbers.
I completely agree with you. And we were putting together, you know, maybe sneak peek at what we're going to talk about on Fantasy and Friends tomorrow franchise. We're talking about it's ProSize. And I think that speaks to that run to pass ratio and the way that it has increased every year of Russell Wilson's career.
Yeah.
And it's heightening this year. I think that speaks well to ProSize's ability down the stretch, because of all of these cats, he's definitely the best receiver.
Yeah.
Caught two passes out of the slot last night, one pass out wide. You mentioned that already. It's something that I think that if the team is moving towards an up-tempo passing attack, which they said in the preseason they wanted to do before this Wilson injury,
right,
I think that means this is going to be ProSize's job primarily.
I was going to say, well, James, you said you didn't trust anybody. I was going to say he's the one I trust the most just because he's both the healthiest right now, the freshest, and offers the most as a dual threat option.
Yeah.
And he, I mean, Kristen Michael's obviously drafted in the second round. We know that. But, and then he was off the team, and then he was back on the beginning, yada, yada, yada. But they invested in ProSize heavily in the draft. They spent a third round pick is a pretty significant investment.
Like third or fourth back off the board.
Yeah.
Thomas Rawls, undrafted free agent, obviously was big for them last year. So, I mean, if any of these guys, I think athletically, the highest upside guy is CJ ProSize. I mean, some people were even saying he had a little bit of shades of David Johnson in him from last year.
Oh.
Yeah. Whew! And he was running up the middle, too. He had a couple power runs up the middle.
Yeah, I just wouldn't put him on the David Johnson
track. No, well, just in terms of he's a former receiver who's
okay,
very
gotcha.
Athletic.
I draw comparisons to him.
And let's
draft. Though.
Yeah, like let's not forget too that David Johnson was not David Johnson coming into the NFL. I mean, he was a big time athlete, but a lot of people said he couldn't even run inside. Which, whoops, that looks real wrong.
Right.
At this point, but yeah, just
the overall
prospect.
I mean, the overall size, speed, though.
Yes.
I mean, DJ was just. I mean, I was hyper on him last year because of the size and speed combination. That's the big thing.
Yeah.
I don't see that with ProSize. So there you go. Let's go to the other side of that Sunday Night Football game there. Deion Lewis was supposed to be back. He was activated, taken off the PUP list or whatever it was, activated, and then didn't start. Not only did he not start, he wasn't even active
wasn't
for the game.
Right.
That was hinted at all week that they would, you know, wait and see, and they're going to take a cautious approach with him.
I will ask you guys this, though. What do you expect of that LeGarrette Blount-Deion Lewis split moving forward? Now, yesterday, LeGarrette Blount got a great amount of work, got those three touchdowns, was highly productive. But moving forward, as we know, Bellatrix can rear its ugly head. And the fact that we also know this, he's so good at changing game plan from week to week. What do we know, or what do you guys speculate on the running back split there?
So here's the thing. Like, I know that this question comes up all the time. Like, what happens to LeGarrette Blount when Deion Lewis gets back? Which, you know, by the way, we don't even know when he's going to be fully integrated in the offense at this point. But I've always told people, don't even approach that as, like, the same position. I know they're both running backs, but they play two separate roles. I mean, Blount has only played more than 65% of the snaps one time this year, and that was when he played over 70% against Houston when they beat him 27-0.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's a part-time player anyways. The appeal of LeGarrette Blount is the touchdowns.
Right.
And they continue to get in the red zone and scoring position because they're a damn good offense. So, I mean, I don't think LeGarrette Blount's outlook really changes all that much because he was already splitting snaps with James White. I mean, if anything, if Deion Lewis is going to have an impact on somebody in the offense, he's going to have impact on passing down players more so than LeGarrette Blount.
Interesting.
I agree with all of that. I don't think anything really changes for LeGarrette Blount. Obviously, James White kind of becomes a non-factor there. I do think they have more confidence throwing the football to Deion Lewis than they do to James White.
Yeah.
You know, I think the guys who should be worried, obviously White. I think Danny Amendola should be concerned. Not that he was a big factor in what they do anyway.
Right.
But there is room for both Deion Lewis and LeGarrette Blount to succeed in this offense.
The thing that concerns me coming up, their next game's against the 49ers, who have the worst rush defense in the league, I believe. Then they play – the Patriots play the Jets, Rams, Ravens, Broncos, and Jets through week 12 to 16. So those are some tough matchups for running backs, and you would think that if Deion Lewis can get healthy, they'd try to use him more and start passing more to their running backs and running Blount up the middle against these tough run defenses. I think he only has 6 receptions on the year.
Just for a little bit of context, last year, when both Deion Lewis and LeGarrette Blount were healthy, I go back to week 8 in 2015, okay? Deion Lewis played on 39 offensive snaps. That was 54%. And LeGarrette Blount played on 27 offensive snaps, which was 38%. Right. Of the offense. But again, if we do start seeing LeGarrette Blount's snap count go down even a little bit, you got to think that that would impact his value a bit. But you're right, he is tied a lot to touchdown production, but still something to keep an eye on, no doubt about it. All right, let's talk about some other teams that interested me on Sunday. Green Bay in particular. Green Bay versus Tennessee. Now, the X's and O's part, okay, we'll forget about that for just a second. But Ty Montgomery, I just thought coming in, I know James Starks was going to be healthy or relatively healthy and playing a bit. I just didn't know he was going to play this much. I thought Ty Montgomery would still have a role, even if it was 50-50 in the backfield with James Starks. I thought they'd utilize him a little bit as a third wide receiver. None of that came true. I mean, Montgomery was just absolutely relegated to a backup role.
He played like 22 snaps, 20 from the backfield, but 22 snaps in total.
Yep. Yeah.
Oy.
This is Mike McCarthy. He'll mix up his personnel groupings and stuff, but at his core, he wants to run more of a traditional offense. And teams have to, I think, they will just theoretically respect the run more when it's a true running back in there like James Starks, and it sets up more of what he wants to do offensively. So I was surprised slightly by how much he played, but not really that much.
I mean, the dude's coming off a knee surgery. I know it was a quote-unquote minor procedure, but still.
He only had 10 touches, though. So he was in there a lot. So I think just for that look for the defense, which helped open other things up. But yeah,
much worked really well for the Packers.
They had 300. Aaron Rodgers threw for 370 yards.
Yeah, they were also chasing the entire game.
Still, that was going to be my point with
that.
This,
had nothing to do with Starks, though.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that, like, they were not on a run game script at all.
Yeah. No, and I don't think they even will be that much going forward, because they're a team that's going to have to live and die on the pass, and with their defense continuing to suffer injuries and just falling apart at the seams, this is going to be good news for fantasy, though, because it's going to inflate the value of Nelson, Adams, and Cobb, apparently, even though he wasn't listed as questionable or anything. Still battling that hamstring injury. I think Rodgers said he was playing through it, so I'll have to watch and see if the reports get a little sunnier on him, but man, for the meantime, I mean, Jordy Nelson, Adams, and Rodgers are going to be pretty much set and forget players.
I mean, Starks, were you guys impressed by Starks?
I thought he looked like James Starks.
I mean, yeah, exactly. He took too many runs
to the outside. He still showed some burst. He still, you know, had a couple nice runs, but there were too many times where I was like, James, what are you doing? Not you, James, but James Starks.
Well, we probably said that too on Sunday. Yeah. You know?
That would be accurate.
Looking at Co's Twitter feed, like, James, what are you doing?
What are you doing, bro?
These gifts aren't hitting.
That's probably you. That's probably a little...
Oh, sorry, that turned into a slam on you. But yeah, anyways.
That was a little too accurate, a little too real.
I mean, if you need to, I think Ty Montgomery could potentially be dropped, but
yeah,
they could switch it. Like, the thing
Good
is,
Lord,
they,
that was quick.
They keep featuring Richard Rodgers, and I know he's a Cal,
yeah, buddy,
homie of yours, but
let's go.
My word, does he offer nothing to this offense? So it would be.
I mean, it's especially true because if you look at who they like have on the outsides, it just doesn't make sense to me. I want him to do well and all that,
but
it's like
so slow.
You have a guy like Jordy Nelson. Davante Adams has obviously stepped up. Randall Cobb is there. Ty Montgomery is a good playmaker. Jeff Janis is a good athlete. I'm with you. I don't get it. Like, I'm happy for him and everything, but I don't get it. I don't understand why they keep running him out there on passing routes. I mean, go four wide. Go five wide.
But basically, you can start the studs in this offense for now, and I would feel okay casting Montgomery back into the waiver wire pool. Also because of, like Harmon mentioned, I think on Friday's episode, his sickle cell disease. Like, right. He's clearly been on a pitch count the last few weeks.
And right.
Who knows if or when that changes.
Oh, man.
Same with Brown in Arizona. I mean,
how fast did that happen with Ty Montgomery?
I was trying to tell everybody to just be patient. Just 4 weeks
fast.
Ago.
Get out of my mentions.
Another associate of the program, not friend, but associate, Scott Pienowski from Yahoo, tweeted during the game on Sunday. So will you be dropping Ty Montgomery as a running back or a wide receiver? I'm sure Gelhar liked it, unliked it again.
I just printed it out and put it on my ceiling so I could stare at it at night as I sleep.
Nice.
I did not. That is great.
Question for the group. Is Jordy back? Officially.
Yeah, I think they found more ways to get him moving around than to just have him beat isolated X-man coverage. But also, you know, with the emergence of Davante Adams into a legitimate player, and he was more of a downfield playmaker yesterday than I'd ever seen him be before, that has allowed Jordy Nelson to not only move around, but also to not have just the number one corner stuck on him on a week-to-week basis.
Yeah, I think Jordy is just so money in the red zone, too, for yes. the Packers. Rodgers trusts him, and he excels with his big body and his, you know, his body control in that area. I think I saw something tweeted yesterday that he, like, leads all players in red zone targets or targets inside the 10 and, like, his conversion rate.
We saw 18 damn targets yesterday.
Wow.
I mean, that if anything, if you're really asking, is Jordy Nelson back, I think that speaks to it. Because back in the day, when Rodgers would get under duress, his game plan would basically be, F it, where's Jordy? And he'd throw it that direction.
He does lead all wide receivers in red zone targets with 19.
There you go.
And the touchdown conversion rate on it as well is just insanely high. But he's had a touchdown in three straight games. Give me that number.
7 red zone touchdown catches.
Out of 18?
I don't know what 19
targets.
Oh man.
Oh yeah, on 19 targets. Yeah.
Holy hell, that's really good.
Yeah.
He has a touchdown in all but 2 of his games. So he's spacing them out, and when they get there, they're looking for him.
There you go. All right. So I guess he is back? Question mark.
Yeah. Well, on the flip side, though, I think you wanted to talk about Tennessee a little bit.
I did. Mariota, is he an every week guy?
So here's the thing, and I mean we could talk about this. You know, we could talk about how great he's been, and he has been incredible. Mm. And I think right now, for the next 2 weeks, you start him every week. But the problem is Tennessee has a bye in week 13, which is when most fantasy playoffs start.
That's rough.
And then after that they have the Broncos at home. They travel to Kansas City, which is like a so-so matchup.
But Justin Houston will probably be back by then.
Justin Houston will be back by then. Then they go to Jacksonville, which, I mean, those Jags-Titans games are always so weird. They have the ugly ones on Thursday night, and then they shot out in the last one in 2015. Jacksonville's also played pretty solid pass defense, to their credit. So,
yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I think maybe you can play the sharp move might be to get another week out of him at Indianapolis, maybe then even another one at Chicago after that, and then trade him before. Well, I don't
know. Well, you can't, though.
Depending on
trade deadline.
Yeah. Just trade him now.
As an aside,
yes,
dear Shadowy League figures, because we know that there's a couple of you that listen to this podcast.
They are.
Why are there no buys in week 12 and we have buys in week 13?
That is weird.
What kind of stupid stuff is that?
Yeah.
That's just dumb.
I'm old enough to remember when that first came out, and everybody's like, it won't matter for fantasy playoffs. The Titans and Browns are the ones on the bye.
Right? Like, it's just dumb. It's dumb that you had 2 weeks of 16 buys and then had a couple weeks of 2-team buys. It's stupid.
Were there? This is the first year there's no – there are buys in week 13, right?
I don't remember. I think this is new.
This is late.
It's real. Like,
guys, remember when there were no buys in week 13?
I remember.
I remember when that joke was funny.
Just had to get Harmon with
it. Wow. Dallas versus Pittsburgh, another tremendous game. Man, that was a lot of fun to watch for sure.
Could argue that was one of the games of the year.
I don't disagree with that.
Yeah.
I don't disagree with that at all. Dallas passing game, how do you predict Dez moving forward?
I don't know.
I don't think you predict Dez.
He good?
So he's good.
I mean,
you put him
good.
In your lineup, and you hope for the best.
Yeah. I mean, Dez, since he's been back from injury, he has 2 games with over 110 yards and a touchdown, but sandwiched in between there is that one catch for 19 yards. He also had
Against Cleveland.
I mean, but maybe that might be an indicator is that that was the one game that they blew the doors off Cleveland, but they had a competitive game against Philadelphia in the week prior. They had a competitive game against Pittsburgh. So maybe in those spots you can get him into that 9 to 14 target range. This was also the case at the beginning of the year, too. I mean, he had the one catch for 8 yards in week one. Then he had over 100 yards against Washington in week two. And then in Chicago, correct, when he got hurt, he had 40 yards and a touchdown. So it's been more good than bad with Dez, but you're right. There's that element of unpredictability, because what makes Dak Prescott so good is that he's able to find where the best matchup is and exploit that. And not, I mean, he even said right at the beginning of the year, like, I'm not going to force it to anybody.
Right. But I mean, I guess the frustration is with guys like Dez, with DeAndre Hopkins, we're used to them just getting pummeled with targets regardless of the situation. We're used to watching them and looking and watching their quarterback, whoever it is, say, I'm in trouble. Let me throw it to my number one guy. And I think the frustration has been with for fantasy with Dak is that you're right. He takes what the defense gives him. That's not always his number one receiver. You know, as people who play fantasy football.
Not always Cole Beasley?
You're right. It's not always Cole Beasley.
It was good to see them get their number two receiver, Dez Bryant, involved.
It was good to see him get involved. I mean,
it took him that deep shot. Otherwise, he really did nothing.
But, you know, people who play fantasy, we just want Dak to line up and throw it to 88 all the time. And it's just that's not good football.
I mean, he got nine targets yesterday, which is good. That's really good.
I mean, if you just look back to, like, he's averaging 8.3 targets per game this year. He averaged 8.5 targets per game in 2014. Dez has never been
a targets guy.
A targets guy DeAndre Hopkins was last year.
He's never had 100 catches in a season.
Right. We talked about
he's
that
never
in
had
preseason.
He's never had 160 targets in a season. I feel like I've said that 340 times in my career.
Yeah.
What's made Dez has been the insane touchdown production, but that hasn't that has not been the situation this year.
Right. He's got three touchdowns in six games played, so
he's been more of a big play threat than it. Which I mean, he's pretty good at that.
Yeah, and when you have a running back like Ezekiel Elliott, you don't have to throw it when you get in the red zone.
Holy hell,
hand it off, and he can.
How good is that dude?
He's amazing.
And the thing is too, like the points come late, which is so dramatic and everything for a guy like Zeke, where he literally does wear down that defense, and then he's just gone.
Yeah.
It's awesome, man. It was awesome watching both those running backs play. What a difference in style, too, right? Because with Lev, you got a guy jumping around.
He's so patient, and he around behind his lineman and then finds the gap and bursts through.
Right, exactly. And then Zeke just powers you.
Yeah, he's just like,
It's awesome, man. It was good stuff. Dak consistency. He's been pretty good, Dak Prescott, in terms of overall consistency. You guys trust him every single week moving forward?
Pretty much. I mean,
hard not to.
Like, what are we waiting, or what other shoe are we waiting for?
I know. What are we waiting to happen now?
Wait, full season. Gotta see him do it for a full season.
That's true. I mean, you have to remember, like, CJ Anderson only did it for half a year or so.
Right.
David Johnson only did it for half.
He's
a year,
averaging
look how that's gone.
19.6 fantasy points per game.
No, I think Dak's tremendous. He's so smart. He's playing above and beyond what a rookie typically should be capable of.
It's crazy.
Doing a lot of little things.
Gives you a little rushing game too, so it's not bad.
And he actually rushed exactly zero times yesterday. So I mean, he's getting better every single week.
Yeah,
that's the exciting part for Dallas, who has officially, by the way, you know, in case you're living under a rock, said that he's going to be the starter from this point on.
I want to, before we move on, James, I know you put those two games there, but I want to talk about Washington real quick.
Please.
One reason, I think there's some interest, and two, I want to use this drop.
Why?
Yeah. Largely just to get that drop in.
Don't indulge him.
What?
His ways.
Why? It's awesome.
Whatever.
Wow.
Man, you guys don't like to have any fun, huh?
No, I like fun. I don't like
love it.
I don't like cornball cousins, no.
What I will say, well, I wanted to bring up Cousins too because it made me think about this also when you were talking about Dak's consistency.
Yes.
Cousins has actually been fantastic in fantasy, pretty much aside from that week one abomination of a game that he played on Monday night, you know, on the island game and against the Steelers. But other than that, he's had over 17 fantasy points in every game except for week five against this tough Baltimore defense. So he even did it against Minnesota. And I think I'm curious what everybody thinks about the tight end split there, but Jamison Crowder is kind of emerging as a go-to guy for him in the passing game. But tight end wise, Vernon Davis, man, he's no joke now in that offense.
It's like he has been tricked into thinking it's 2012 again or something. he's playing really well. I think I did see that. Yeah, you know, he's not obviously getting a ton of targets, not a ton of balls thrown his way, but. I think it was Brad Evans that tweeted that he's averaging about 13 yards per target. So they're not getting it to him a lot, but when they do, it tends to be a little bit of a bigger play, and then when he finds the end zone, that makes it a nice day for him.
That's not good for Jordan Reed.
I was just about to say, is that more red flag for Jordan
Reed?
He had
two catches yesterday.
Yeah.
Two.
And he played, Vernon Davis, that is, played on 53% of the snaps. Jordan Reed played on 79%. They used a two tight end set a lot more frequently than they had usually, and that probably had to do with DeSean Jackson being injured too. But I think that does take a little bit of, like, it puts a, I don't know if I'm going to say, like, it takes the shine off Jordan Reed, but I think it puts a little bit more risk into his weekly outlook. And you have a two catch for 41 yard game like he had yesterday.
Yeah.
And Rob Kelly, I mean, he's a waiver wire guy, but he's had over 20 carries each of the last two games. He hasn't put the ball on the ground, which is extremely important. Matt Jones was a healthy scratch. And he's averaged like 4.3 yards per carry. So he's not
bad.
Not exactly a game-breaking talent or anything, but he's exactly what that offense needed, and I would assume they're going to trust him moving forward.
He's also one of those guys that's just – he doesn't give you a lot of negatives. There's
no
negative
the
runs.
Thing.
A lot of – it's either at the scrimmage, maybe he gets 0-1, maybe he'll break one out for five or six.
He'll turn those negative those 2 yard losses into a 1 or 2 yard gain like every time.
The big one that helped him yesterday, he busted off a 21 yard run, which helped his totals out. If he didn't have that, he only would have had like 70 something yards.
Yeah, I mean, he's a boring, reliable grinder, but for an offense that is built around the passing game pretty much, I mean, they've been one of the most pass heavy teams this year.
Right.
Yeah. Then that's really all you need is a guy that's gonna get you 4 to 5 yards and not screw it up.
Yeah.
There you go. All right, let's talk about some top performers here. Marcus Mariota, 295 through the air, 4 touchdowns for him. Aaron Rodgers versus Tennessee in that very same game, 371, 2 touchdowns. He also added a rushing touchdown, a very nice long one. He had 27 rushing yards and a rushing touchdown. Big Ben versus Dallas, 408 through the air, 3 touchdowns. Russell Wilson against New England, 348, 3 touchdowns for him. I feel as if we've talked about Colin Kaepernick a lot, but Colin Kaepernick versus Arizona was one of your top five, maybe top five or six quarterbacks for the week.
I don't want to quite say he looked like the Colin Kaepernick that took the Niners to the Super Bowl, but
you don't have to if you don't want to.
Yeah.
But he's starting to show some of that same level of confidence on the field and in the offense that we saw then, even if the production isn't quite matching.
I mean, this is against Arizona. I mean, I get the passing totals weren't really there. He had 210 through the air, a touchdown. But 55 rushing yards, a rushing touchdown as well. We've talked many times about how rushing ability will keep, you know, value afloat for a quarterback.
But he had the same number of rushing yards as David Johnson on Sunday, by the way.
Is that right?
They both had 55 rushing yards.
Wow. All right. Speaking of running backs, Zeke versus Pittsburgh, 210-ish total yards, 3 touchdowns. Ryan Matthews. Can we talk about Ryan Matthews?
No.
Can we not?
Ryan Matthews.
Unbelievable.
I feel like I'm the only one. Now, mind you, let me caveat this by saying I didn't start Ryan Matthews, but I've kind of been stumping for him because his usage is weird in the sense that he doesn't play a lot, but when he's on the field, they give him the ball, and they give him the ball near the end zone. So, you know, for all the talk of Darren Sproles and how he fits in this offense and how much the Eagles love him, Ryan Matthews has been the better fantasy running back this year.
He has touchdowns.
This is exactly like the Jordan Howard thing when he played the Vikings and just went off on everybody's bench. Like, I cannot blame anybody, even if he was scoring touchdowns, I cannot blame anybody for not playing a guy that had seen 16 snaps over a two-game span going into this one. Because, I mean, you certainly nobody was expecting this. I mean,
and Doug Peterson said that Sproles was going to be the starter. Right. Sproles had looked better.
And I think that might have motivated Matthews to be like, all right, you know what? My toothache is gone. I'm going to get out there. I'm going to run. That's what they said last week. Peterson said, he had like some kind of tooth issue, so he wasn't 100%. It's silly.
But he is definitely their best back. I mean, he's definitely like Ryan Matthews is the guy that should be the feature back.
I agree, and it's weird that they're not using him as much. Sproles, the snap counts for the season, Sproles is exactly double Ryan Matthews. Sproles has been on the field
for
370 snaps. Ryan Matthews is 140.
Whoa.
That's crazy, right?
What the hell do you do with Ryan Matthews moving forward? I mean,
flip a coin?
That's not, oh man, that's tough. All right, DeMarco Murray versus Green Bay, he had a passing touchdown. That was fun.
Yes.
Yeah, 156.
The Titans could have did everything they could have possibly wanted against the
Vulture. Even Anthony Fasano scored in this game.
Oh, man.
He vultured a passing touchdown from Marcus Mariota.
This was great. Going back to Marcus Mariota very quick, if Marcus Mariota is playing this well, okay? Is there a wide receiver, a pass? I mean, I know Delaney was just beast.
Rashard Matthews.
Okay.
He leads the league in receiving touchdowns in the last, like, 6 weeks with six.
Oh,
yeah. 6 and 6 games.
Just crazy.
And his, and I think we noted this on the Friday podcast, too, and I've noted it in my waiver articles, his, like, production has earned him the top of the pecking order in snaps and playing time.
This is interesting. This comes. I just tweeted this out, actually, before we came up here from Next Gen Stats. In weeks 1 through 5, the Titans receivers averaged 2.8 yards of separation, which was the 26th most in the NFL. In weeks 6 through 10, they've averaged 3.2 yards of separation at their targets. That's the 8th most. And
wow.
That coincides with Matthews playing more,
yeah,
with Kendall Wright starting to play more, with Andre Johnson hitting the road.
Sharp playing less.
I mean, and also Mariota's performance has gone up,
yeah,
too.
So
I think
the Sharp touchdown celebration was legit.
Yeah, good for him. I mean, listen, Tajay Sharp definitely did not meet some of the what were most likely optimistic, like got out of hand preseason expectations. No question about it. But he's a good player. I mean, he's got a solid future in the NFL. So good for him. And it was a good celebration.
There you go. He basically caught a touchdown and then fell asleep.
And you've just been fine for saying
that. Yeah, he got flagged for that, right?
He got fired.
You can't go to the ground. You can't go to the ground when you saw
that. That's great. Le'Veon Bell versus Dallas, 57 on the ground, 77 through the air, 2 total touchdowns.
First touchdowns of the year for Bell.
That's so weird.
Yeah.
That's
just so want to get that in there.
Blount versus Seattle, nice yardage. He had 69 yards on the ground.
Nice.
3 touchdowns for him. C.J. Prosai, 66 yards on the ground, 87 through the air. That's 153 total, folks. That's
yeah, buddy.
Doug Baldwin versus New England. He had 59 yards receiving, 3 touchdowns. Allen Robinson, welcome to
Hooray!
The party, pal.
Hooray!
He took on Houston, had 107 receiving yards, a touchdown, and a two-point conversion.
Quick note on him. He's had, I think, like 15, 12, and 13 in some sort of order targets the last 3
that
weeks.
That is the order.
And oh, did I just 15, get that right?
15, 12,
I pulled that out of nowhere. I'm like,
I have it memorized.
In my mind, I was like spinning them around, like, and we'll go 15, 12. Anyways, but that's helped his current run of success, so that's good to see.
And we should probably talk about this.
Please.
A friend of the program, because he's sent me those shirts, one of the two people that did, Matt Johnson from Twitter, he pointed out that Allen Robinson, since I've started drinking beer again, 16 catches, 183 yards, and 2 touchdowns.
What does that tell you?
Trends.
I'm never doing that stupid month of no beer again. Also, another Twitter user, Andy, yes, I don't know how to pronounce your last name, he tweeted back and said, similar, Willie Snead had 2 touchdowns in September and 2 in November, 0 in October.
Wow.
So, I mean, I don't know what to tell you.
I mean, what we should say is we apologize to all Willie Snead and Allen Robinson owners.
And I think I got to run some numbers on this just in general to if other of my some of my other favorite receivers destroyed their productivity in you know, now that I think about it, Sterling Shepard was awesome in September, did nothing in October, had a big game last week. We're
going
to watch it today. What's going to happen? Monday night's going to be key. Because I don't have anything better to do with my life, I'm going to put together some spreadsheets on this, and I will tweet them out. But Noctobier is seriously questionable for next year considering these splits.
It's not questionable. It's out.
It's fact now.
Look, as a true,
look, what is,
true
what
data
is, what
believer.
Is, what is dead may never die.
As a true, you know, believer in the data, I gotta go, you know, investigate.
Antonio Brown versus Dallas, 154 receiving yards, 1 touchdown. So much of that came late. He was doing not a whole heck of a lot for 3 quarters, and then boom, just out of nowhere. Just
first 100-yard receiver the Cowboys have allowed all season.
Is that right?
Yes.
That's surprising.
Tyrell the Gazelle, man.
Whew.
Dude.
125 through the air and a touchdown versus Miami.
Yeah.
It's about damn time we start taking notice of Tyrell Williams.
Yeah.
No?
It's past time.
Wait, where you been?
Where you been, dog?
Well, I mean, I think a lot of folks look at Tyrell Williams as like this guy, hey, should I play him? Should I not play him? Is he a flex starter? Is he not a flex starter? I've got to make this very important waiver wire ad. Should I trust in Tyrell Williams moving forward? That's that guy.
Yeah. Yeah, you're actually not. You're not wrong. I did tweet out a chart of Tyrell Williams today, pointing out that he again They move him around a lot. Like, his big play, like the big 51-yard touchdown catch and run and another 17-yard catch came when he was lined up in the slot. So they've been able to move him around to get him in position to get open and make big plays in the open field. Somebody did tweet back at me, like, he's not that good, right? You know, like, so, yeah, there are probably some people out there that still don't believe, but...
Well, he's got no name value.
Yeah.
I mean...
He's like the third man up, too.
Yeah, and also the fact that, you know, he's had a couple dud games, too, against good...
Right, but they were against the Broncos.
Right.
No, I agree. I get it. I like the overall product that I've seen from Tyrell Williams. I mean, obviously, he's got a good 40 time and he's tall, so what the hell?
Philip Rivers and the Chargers wide receivers have one of the most favorable fantasy playoff schedules coming up, too.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they're chucking it, baby.
Yeah.
Doesn't he have the Browns, the Panthers, the Bucks?
And the Raiders in the last weeks, 12, 13, 14.
Yeah, so I mean, if you can
14, 15, 16.
If you can still go out and pay like 50 cents on the dollar to acquire Tyrell Williams,
yeah,
do it. I mean,
trade deadlines are fast approaching if they're not already
passed.
Yeah,
I think that's like
it's
end
like
of
11
November.
It's 11/27, I think is what it is.
Something like
that. Yes, correct.
So like 2 weeks.
Interesting. Yeah. All right. I'm playing a league where the trade deadline's already passed, much to my
same
chagrin.
And in one of the
week.
Dynasty leagues.
I'm womp, womp.
Week.
I think trade deadlines are kind of stupid, but that's just a personal philosophy.
Okay. I like having them in like before the playoffs.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just because, you know, in leagues, I mean, we're all in leagues with like close friends and stuff, and vendettas can be forged and
hell
stuff.
Yeah.
And you don't want collusion.
Yeah, I mean.
From the tight end position, Delanie Walker versus Green Bay, 124 and a touchdown, and literally was doing whatever the hell he wanted against that Green Bay secondary.
Caught a touchdown from DeMarco Murray, who threw one.
That was great. Cameron Brate had 84 and a touch there as well. Kyle Rudolph for Minnesota, 69 yards, pretty nice yardage, and a touchdown for him. All right, biggest disappointments, Jay Cutler. In a very soft spot against Tampa Bay. He was a favorite streamer for a lot of folks.
Oh, we should have saw this coming.
Yeah. And
I mean,
holy
we really should
hell,
have.
He was bad.
I mean, because if he's going to go out and ball against the Vikings in a primetime game, it stands to reason that in a game that people are barely watching against a soft defense like the Bucs, that he would absolutely go out and
look. He went full Cutler.
Yeah.
He went full Cutler. Like, you know what? I'm going to go a little more.
look, you get into bed with Jay Cutler, you might wake up with some cigarette burns. That's awesome.
You're going to have to wash your clothes the next day.
He had 182 yards passing, one touchdown, three turnovers. Now, here's the thing. He would have had like 132 yards, no touchdowns, if he didn't get that 50-yard Hail Mary.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Sheesh. I mean, that's the only thing that kept him being a positive scorer, because that was a 9-point play right there. And he finished, I think, in most leagues, with like 5.8 points or 7.8 points.
Literally a prayer.
And literally. He should have had four turnovers, but the one was ruled a safety instead. So I think that came off of his scoring total.
Because he like fumbled it and sold.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, I wrote a mea culpa at the start of streaming defenses this week. Cause I'm like, sorry, guys, I missed a really obvious one. I let one island game of Cutler, you know, cloud my judgment on an entire career.
A lot of other people did, too.
Oh, everybody.
Oh, yeah. Don't mince words on Sunday as you're setting the CP on our homepage. You're like, huh, Jay Cutler leads week 10 spot starts, huh? Look at me like, oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, we all got
that
one
wrong. That was pretty ugly.
However,
the Charlie meme definitely set that straight.
I will say, though, that now the one fantasy upside of Cutler being a disaster again is that we have a new streaming defense target. Whoever is playing him, go get them.
Especially now that Alshon's out.
Especially now that Alshon,
and
Kyle Long, and potentially their running back, although he says nah.
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 Puke. Literally, he said nah.
That's what he said.
That's a quote. Matt Ryan versus Philadelphia, a relative disappointment. I mean, we're talking about the quarterback one in fantasy, so do have to kind of put this in perspective. But 267 through the air, touchdown and interception.
Falcons lost.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Big surprise.
I'll bring this up, too, by the way. Is this a red flag for Matt Ryan? Mm. We've seen this in his career, start hot and then fall off. I'll just throw it out.
I don't know.
Okay. I would just say
he'll be fine.
I think
he'll be fine too. I'm just throwing it out there.
I would just say that he was on like an unsustainable touchdown rate pace in his first half of the season. Perhaps that is going to dial back a little bit.
Okay.
He
threw four touchdowns last week.
That's what I'm saying.
And three the week before
The thing about Matt Ryan is the Falcons' offense is so – or defense is so bad.
They have to keep chucking it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't disagree.
So he's going to be fine.
All right, there you go.
Eagles have been very tough through the air as a pass defense at home.
Okay.
So
there you go. Brady versus Seattle, 316 passing. Unfortunately, no touchdowns for him.
Because Blunt got them all.
I know, he got them all.
I was going to say, I don't think we really have to spend too much time on this. This just one, like, that was just clearly on
that's a one-way side.
Wrong side of TD variant.
He'll course correct next week against
the Patriots.
The
are in turmoil now. They have two losses this season.
It's true. Shout out to Dan Hansa, slight regression.
Gradual, wasn't it gradual?
Gradual decline.
Gradual regression. I think it's all part of it.
Okay.
Jonathan Stewart. Versus Kansas City, just 39 yards for him.
Yeah, that was rough.
That's going to happen.
Cam Newton got the rushing touchdown.
Ty Montgomery, just 20 yards against Tennessee. Oy. Carlos Hyde, welcome back to the disappointments list. Versus Arizona, 14 yards.
Not healthy.
On 13 carries.
Oh.
Well, at least he got over one.
Mark Ingram, 63 total yards, no scores. But he didn't put the ball on the ground, so there's that.
Yep.
Michael Thomas versus Denver. 0 points.
Yeah, I mean, he got you 40 yards receiving, and he made up for it with two fumbles.
Oh!
Yeah.
Whoops.
Not great.
I would not worry about Michael Thomas, though.
No, I mean, this was a hiccup, but
yeah. It's against Denver.
It just wasn't good.
The Broncos haven't allowed a 100-yard receiver all year. I think the highest production was Brandon Cooks in this game.
There was some hope coming into this game because the Saints were at home.
Yeah, but I mean that's how, why you saw right. Willie Snead and Brandon Cooks get over on them. You know, Willie Snead had a great game, two touchdowns.
Should we have seen that coming a bit just because of Chris Harris Jr. on Michael Thomas and then Bradley Roby on
Harmon's like stretching?
Not going to say that that's exactly what I wrote in the Next Gen Stats column, but that's exactly what I wrote in the Next Gen Stats column. So
okay, great.
Thanks for reading.
You guys can read that on Thursdays, late afternoon Thursdays, or probably evening if you're on the East or Coast.
Definitely
or
evening
Central
on
time.
The East Coast.
Alshon Jeffery against Tampa Bay had 47 yards. Oh, I forgot to ask the group here. Is he droppable? I mean, he will be back for the fantasy playoffs, but
I wouldn't drop him.
Yeah,
I wouldn't drop him.
I'd probably hang on.
Yeah, I mean, I guess so. It's gonna be really hard the next 4 weeks.
If Cutler gets benched, though, later, Alshon.
But you're also, yeah, that's true. I don't know, but you're not at this point in the year. You're not like really looking to keep depth on your bench. You're keeping like upside stashes anyway.
That's true. I have Sammy Watkins.
I think that depends if you already have a playoff spot versus if you're going after a playoff.
Well, if you're
five and four right now.
If you're out of it, I mean, what are you?
Well, if you're out of it, anyway. But if you're like, you know, kind of on the cusp, if you need to win,
if you're 500 right now,
I would hold on to Alshon until you're eliminated. You're doing the Rams. You're starting Case Keenum until you're eliminated from playoff contention. I guess.
So that means Jared Goff.
I'll also say this. The waiver wire is a little thin right now.
Yeah. It's true.
Brandon Marshall versus L.A., just 15 yards.
It's not going to happen this year.
Yeah, he's done.
We can drop Brandon Marshall, though, right?
You can drop him?
You can drop Brandon Marshall.
This is just my own thing, but like, I mean, we were having this conversation with Allen Robinson recently. Like,
we heard about DeAndre Hopkins on Sunday.
We're having it about DeAndre Hopkins now. I mean, I'm never going to be the one. People have asked me this, and I'm like, look, I am never going to be the one to drop a player like Brandon Marshall, Allen Robinson a couple of weeks ago, or DeAndre Hopkins this week. But you do you. Do whatever the hell you think is right.
I can't.
I'm not going
to
be the one to do it.
I can't get myself to drop that. Yeah. I can't do it. I mean, oh, man, that's tough. Randall Cobb versus Tennessee, 31 yards for him. Mike Evans, again, against Chicago. A lot of folks were expecting bigger things. Just 66 yards for Mike Evans.
This is the ultimate just it happens game.
Yep.
I mean, it happens. And, so, I mean, look, I don't know why he didn't get a target in the first half. I don't know. We don't know. Nobody knows. But everybody wants to know. But there's just no answer. Some of these things happen in football.
He did have a ridiculous catch, though, on that play where Winston
the Tecmo Bowl play
for about 10 minutes. Yeah.
Oh, my God. That was
was like it was either Tecmo Bowl or it was like Jameis channeled up some old Texas A&M Johnny Manziel.
It is weird, though, right? Because like he got like 40 yards of his 66 yards on that one play.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's a luck play.
Yeah.
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 So, I mean, you take that one away.
It's a great play.
He would have been terrible.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Yeah.
Jordan Reed versus Minnesota, 41 yards, as we talked about. Greg Olsen versus KC, I was surprised by this one, 39 yards.
Three straight weeks he's had fewer than 60 receiving.
Red flags?
The Chiefs are really good against tight ends.
I mean, Greg Olsen is still the primary pass catcher in that offense.
Okay.
It's just 3 weeks in a row he hasn't been particular. I guess I should take that back. Because one of the weeks he had 52 and a touchdown, which actually made it a decent-looking total. But two of the 3 weeks, have not been very good. I think he got you like 1.1 points, I think, when we had like 11 receiving yards or something.
Here's something that nobody ever thought they would say. This Panthers offense really needs Michael Orr back. Because they can't pass protect at all. And I mean at all. And it's been a detriment to the entire offense. I mean, they looked like they were controlling that game in the first half.
Oh, yeah.
And then just
– they were dominating.
And then it was just like, oh, God, where did the lead go?
Yeah.
And Kelvin Benjamin's big fumble at the end of the game had something to do with it for sure. But, yeah, their pass protection is not good, and that's going to hurt the output of all these players.
I don't know. I mean, just from a real football standpoint, I just don't understand how you can keep throwing Cam Newton out to the Wolves like that. I mean,
You're talking to the Panthers or the refs?
No, the – well,
yeah, a little bit of both.
A little bit of both. But, I mean, they have all these designed runs, like sweeps and stuff. It's like –
because
then,
it works, though.
I mean, I get it. I get that part. But, I mean, if he goes down, your season's over. I mean, there's a reason why teams don't do that.
But if he's not performing and scoring for you, your season is also over.
There, it is definitely – I understand your point. Like, it is definitely a live-by-the-sword, die-by-the-sword sort of proposition for the Panthers.
I mean, just because he suffered a concussion, that's all. And it's also one of those things, it's proven once you suffer a concussion, you're much more likely to suffer another concussion. So it's like, I don't know. That's just my small thing, real life. I don't understand the play calling, but whatever. Zach Miller against Tampa Bay had 32 yards. Lance Kendricks versus the Jets.
Yeah. Can I just tell you guys my story?
He had nothing. Zero.
I think he had one catch. My story of tight end streaming this week. I started the week with Julius Thomas on my team. I was like, you know what? Screw you, buddy.
Right.
You're not even – you're barely on a field anymore.
Yeah.
He scores a touchdown.
Yes,
early.
He does.
So I dropped him for Cameron Brate like midweek. I was like, I'm going to roll with Cameron Brate.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Why would you
I also own Mike Evans, so then that went to my head. And was like, I can't start both these guys.
Oh,
Tampa Bay. So I dropped Cameron Brate like Saturday night and added Lance Kendricks.
No.
Because the matchup was good against the Jets. He'd been getting all his volume. And I roll Lance Kendricks out there, and he gets like 0 points. And I had two other tight ends early in the week who both scored touchdowns, and I want to slap myself.
That's great.
The thing is, though, like you talk about Julius Thomas versus Lance Kendricks, like the playing time was there for Kendricks. He played, I think, 89% of the team snaps.
Yeah.
Julius Thomas played like 54%.
What was the final score on that? 9-6?
9-6.
Yes.
9-6.
Oh, by the way,
you started Lance Kendricks in a fantasy game.
Like, what were his targets the last couple weeks?
Yeah, 12. No, I mean, it's one of those like, yeah, this all makes a lot of sense, but it's a bad player on a bad offense.
Right.
So
they've won two games now. We're talking about the Rams without having scored an offensive touchdown.
That's disgusting.
I saw a great
what?
Tweet. Hold on. I got to find it real quick.
The Rams,
that's crazy.
The Rams offense is TVMA.
True.
It was that.
Like, you shouldn't let your kids watch it.
The Rams have scored, like, two touchdowns in their. I retweeted it. I'm going to try and find it quick. The Rams have scored, I think, two touchdowns in their last, like, 32 offensive possessions.
It's something.
And have only allowed
like
two
that.
As well in their last 34. And I was like, this is. Yeah. It's peak Jeff Fisher ball was my tweet. It was from the great Rich Rebar over at Roto World. Scored two TDs on 34 possessions in their past three games and have allowed three TDs on 32.
Do you know how elite that defense must be, though, if you think about it?
Defense is great.
Because when the offense is that bad, you are putting your defense in such like disadvantageous situations.
Yeah.
Short fields, you're giving the offense a lot more plays per game.
They're gassed by
the second. It's just amazing how good their defense must be.
We should probably move on. We're pushing an hour here, and I feel for our listeners. But
yeah, I'm over it.
Daily Daps.
Wait. We got to do the waiver wire a little bit here.
Oh, my bad.
Can't just abandon people.
Abort the waiver wire.
We mentioned some guys already. And again, you can read all these at NFL.com/waivers, NFL.com/deep dive. So I'll just hit a couple off the top to tease you guys, and then you can go check out those for help there.
Please.
A lot of guys we've mentioned. James Starks, Rob Kelly. We don't know yet what Jordan Howard's injury is, if it is anything at all, but Jeremy Langford and Kadeem Carey could both be worth a look. Likewise, Cameron Meredith. Robert Woods, sneaky pickup for Buffalo. He's had a couple nice games in a row since coming back from injury. Jameson Crowder, as we mentioned. Rishard Matthews. Eli Rogers is a guy to look for. He was out-snapped this past week by Kobe Hamilton, but he had another solid week of production after his 100-plus yard breakout.
R.I.P. Sammy Coates.
Coates is
not a thing anymore.
Yep. No, he played two snaps.
Yeah.
That's bad.
Reminder, Eric Ebron is on the waiver wire in over 80% of leagues.
What?
NFL.com right
that's
now.
Oh, because he was on a bye.
He was on a bye. Oh. So, like, go scoop him up. He's a great pickup.
Yeah.
Ladarius Green only played, like, 12 snaps or something like that. Maybe
they
20.
Utilized him, though.
He tied Jesse James for targets with 4, and they're playing the Browns next week.
Hello.
So if you're desperate, there's an option. And Giants streaming defense. But, yeah, go read all that stuff on NFL.com, and we'll get to Daily Daps and get out of here.
Let's do it.
Whoa.
Oh.
I'm blind.
Try again.
We're leaving it in.
Blind chives.
Blind chives. What? Hold on. Let me hit it. That one was for Harmon. All right. Let's actually do Daily Daps and get out of here.
Extra. Read all about it.
This is the Daily
Daps and Hugs. Give me daps because I be scribbling right.
Give me dabbing up daps about daps.
All right, Daily Dap time. We shall start with MG, my guy, Marcus Grant. What you got, pal?
Daily Daps to, I guess, the franchise. For a great Friday night out, we got to go to see Amos Lee, which is a fantastic show at a great venue, the theater at the Ace Hotel, which I had never been to before.
I love his cookies.
Yeah, exactly. Famous Amos cookies. But the Ace Theater, or the theater at the Ace Hotel, is amazing, an amazing venue. It's gorgeous. Amos Lee did a fantastic show, and he was nice enough to host us backstage afterwards.
What?
And yep. Make us – by the way, also Daily Dap to St. George Gin.
Oh, man. It was so good.
He made us he poured us some gin and tonics with his favorite gin, St. George, and I
– Oh, my God. I haven't had a gin and tonic in years.
Same. I used to be a big gin and tonic guy, not so much anymore, but he made this, and I immediately have to go find myself a bottle of St.
Yeah,
George Gin.
Let's just be clear. I don't know if any of us had gin and tonics on Friday night because what Amos poured us was pretty much just a lot of gin.
Oh. Yeah. They were very strong.
And he's like, I made him a little stiff.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
All right.
Wow. It was a cool night.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
I feel like we should send the podcast on that.
Seriously, I was going to say, can I just co-op that?
Yeah, you totally should co-op that.
Okay, I'm co-oping that because I don't have anything cooler. that was like the coolest thing we've ever done.
Oh, my God. That's amazing. That's great. Franchise will go to you. Harmon, we're literally skipping over you because I
go
know you're
for
not,
it.
Okay, great.
Fame Chise has this covered.
I mean, I've talked about my relationship with Amos on the pod before. I've been in fantasy leagues with him and stuff. He's a really cool guy. He was really generous.
Oh, but let me just say one thing first before he – Franchise threw me completely under the bus.
How's that?
As soon as he walked in there. Like, he's like, oh, yeah, these are the guys that when you ask me fantasy questions, Amos, that I ask for help or whatever. He's like, that's the guy that hyped up Tyler Lockett and told me to tell you to draft him.
Oh, damn.
Right away.
I had to look cool in front of my friend.
I'm just...
Whatever it takes.
I'm like, should I just leave or what?
Oh, my God. You got a free drink out of it.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah. He wasn't even done pouring the drink. I was half expecting to be like, oh, well, all right.
Spin.
Wow. Okay.
It was cool.
With
was
that, awesome. Do you have another Daily Daps?
My Daily Daps, yes, is going to go to the return of Dave Chappelle on SNL from this week.
Yes.
If you guys haven't seen the monologue.
I haven't. I heard it's good.
Oh, man. It's like I've seen articles online that are saying it's like historic in the history of SNL monologues.
Wow.
Like, it was just amazing. He blew everyone away.
Rank said this morning that he thought about quitting comedy after it.
Yeah, it was that good. And also, Dave Chappelle is ripped. His arms are huge.
He's bulked up since
bulked
the days
he's
of
the
Chappelle show.
Like, he used to be kind of a slimmer.
Since the days of Chappelle
not kind
show.
Of. He was extremely
He
skinny.
Was real
he's
thin.
But,
he
like,
was
he,
super
He was about yeah. to bust out of his sleeves on
no,
that.
No, I know. He like retired from comedy, and apparently he went straight to the gym.
Yeah.
Didn't he go to like Africa or something?
He went to Africa for a long time.
Took a mental break.
Yep,
yeah.
He did. Yep.
He's back though. It was awesome. It was really fun, and they brought back some Chappelle Show characters in one of the skits. And
nice.
Oh, did they? It's online if you haven't seen it.
Oh, that's legit.
Yeah,
go check that out. That's awesome. Alex Gellhart, what you got?
Got a dap. Arrival, the new sci-fi movie that came out this past weekend.
Oh.
Went to see it. It was fantastic.
It's getting great reviews.
Might be my favorite movie of the year so far.
Wow.
It's a fantastic story. It's awesome to see sci-fi on the big screen like that. That's thought-provoking and not Independence Day resurgence or whatever the hell. Like, we're just gonna blow everything up. Like, this was thought-provoking. It had good characters, good
Michael
story.
Michael Bay's gonna come kicking your door.
I don't
now.
Care. Come over, Michael Bay. Michael Bay, I'll slap you upside the head for some of the movies you've made lately. And anyways, it was a fantastic movie. So go see it if you get a chance. Support movies like this because a lot of people always lament, like, I don't want like more cheesy blockbusters. And Arrival is the type of movie we need to support in the theater. It had great reviews. Had a good opening box office weekend. But go check it out because it's so good. I might go see it again. Like,
wow.
I want to enjoy it again, and I want to get – there's a good twist. There's a good plot. Like, I just want to go back.
Okay, great.
Also, Daily Daps to Franchise for the hookup on Friday. Fame Chise.
That is legit.
Yeah.
That's legit.
You're welcome.
Man, that's cool.
He also is like, here's his level of fame in the music industry. Like, we got these stickers to put on ourselves for backstage access afterwards. And he's like, don't put them up here, like, on your chest. He's like, that's just a noob. Move.
That's a noob.
Put it down here so it's out of the way. So we like, put it down on our hips, basically. He knows, man.
The little VIP stickers are like, if you get like a VIP ticket to a festival or something.
I don't know anything about that.
Canvas stickers.
Well, neither did we. I think he probably saw all of us dummies looking at it. I worked in music for like four years. It was great that you took our hands and guided us through this experience.
Yeah.
So
I love that you're like, yeah, you know, when you get that VIP, I don't know. It was fun to watch Franchise kind of in his element on Friday night. That's awesome, dude. Yeah.
It was cool.
I've got two daily daps. One, watched UFC, what is it, 205? Yeah, I watched UFC 205. It's a little bit of a spoiler alert. Hopefully you already know what the results are, but I watched it on tape delay, so there you go. But anyways, daily dap to Tyron Woodley and Wonderboy Thompson. Stephen Wonderboy Thompson, they put on one of the best fights I've ever seen. One of the best fights I've ever seen. It was a great, great fight.
Nice.
Wonderboy Thompson, I think it was a majority draw, but whatever. It was an awesome fight. You should definitely go check it out. I don't know how you would go do, but I'm not going to promote illegal activity, so there you go. I will also daily tap Chris Collinsworth.
Yes.
Bill Simmons tweeted this out. Somebody needs to gently break the news to Chris Collinsworth that the Pats have a weak front seven, and that's why Seattle's O-line looks good. This was in, I guess, response to something Chris Collinsworth had said during the Sunday Night Football broadcast. Chris Collinsworth today then tweeted back at Bill and said, thanks, Bill. We'll look for you to, quote, gently break it down on that hit show of yours.
All-time ownage.
By the way, Bill Simmons' show got canceled.
Yeah, at HBO, where they usually give shows like that some rope. And Collinsworth since deleted the tweet, but
nothing dies on the internet.
Screenshotted
seriously.
For life.
You can't take that away from us, Chris.
I love. Like,
you can't
I think,
give that to us
I think,
take it away.
To this moment, I think Chris Collinsworth or Bill Simmons is still trending on Twitter. Like, during the podcast, I had Twitter open to keep tabs on news and stuff, and Bill Simmons was still one of the top trends.
Yeah, it's like number five right now.
With like Gwen Ifill, like RIP and Stop Bannon, and Bill Simmons is up there. It's like, you know, iconic journalist passes away, political climate.
Even
Bill Simmons.
Even TMZ has it now.
He has yet to respond.
Well, I don't think you...
What do you say?
I know.
He's in the ICU right now.
Has anybody seen Bill Simmons?
No, that's an ether.
You say?
That's an ether. Yeah. He got ethered. Sorry, bro. I mean, I love Bill Simmons, but dude... Oh, God, that hurts.
Just lick your wounds and move on.
You got to just move on, bro.
Take that L.
Anyways, that's the show. I do appreciate you guys listening. For the franchise, for the Wiz, for MG, and for Matt Harmon, I'm James Coe. We'll see you Friday.
See you later.